in the tomb, and it actually is Jesus, and they don't recognize him. But then they do recognize him, and the angel says to them, "He is risen. He is not here. He is risen." Isn't that beautiful? A beautiful picture, isn't it? And it says that Jesus was very neat. He must have listened to his mom Mary growing up, because it said he took off his head cloth, the cloth that they put over his head, and he had packed it away neatly. He'd folded it up and put it on the place where they had laid him. He obviously listened to his mom to make his bed every morning. And so kids out there, make your bed. First thing you do in the morning is make your bed. At least you've achieved something, right? First thing in the morning, you make your bed. Then you've actually achieved something for the day. Hey, mom. Yeah, yeah. But so Jesus, he did that. And, you know, in the custom of the Hebrews, of the Israelite nation back in the day, when you sat at dinner time and you were not finished your meal, you would actually neatly fold your serviette, your napkin, and leave it there to say, "I'm actually not done yet." And that's what Jesus was saying in a way. He didn't just take that cloth off his head and chuck it on the floor. No, he folded it neatly and he put it there and said, "Look, I'm not completely finished yet. I'm coming back. I'm coming back to receive you." And that just is a beautiful picture. I'd like to read to you the Easter resurrection story this morning. And then a couple people are going to come up and share a couple of thoughts on that also. But the book of John, chapter 20, verses 1 to 31. It's a beautiful portion of scripture. I'd like to read it to you this morning. John chapter 20. Thank you so much, Max. "Now on the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene came to the tomb early, while it was still dark," must have been real early, "and saw that the stone had been taken away from the tomb. So she ran and went to Simon Peter and the other disciple, the one whom Jesus loved, and said to them, 'They have taken the Lord out of the tomb, and we do not know where they have laid him.' So Peter went out with the other disciple, and they were going toward the tomb. Both of them were running together." They were running. "But the other disciple outran Peter and reached the tomb first." And many believe this actually was the apostle John. Obviously, he was a quick runner. He was bolting. "And both of them were running together, but the other disciple outran Peter. And stooping to look in, he saw the linen cloth lying there, but he did not go in. Then Peter came following him and went into the tomb and saw the linen cloth lying there. And the face cloth, which had been on Jesus' head, was not lying with the other linen cloths, but folded up in a place by itself." And I explained to you just before what that was about. "Then the other disciple who had reached the tomb first also went in, and he saw and believed. For as yet they did not understand the scripture that he must rise from the dead. Then the disciples went back to their homes." I mean, Jesus already told them four times, even just in the book of Matthew alone, that he would die. He told them exactly what would happen, that he would face a trial, that he'd be mocked, scourged, beaten. He would die on a cross, and he would rise again. He told them that four times. And it says here, they did not understand the scripture. You can imagine if you spending time with Jesus, the Son of God, and he's performing miracles all the time. He's even raised others from the dead himself, Lazarus, and others in scripture. He's opened blind eyes, deaf ears. He's cast demons out of people, done incredible signs and wonders. It was hard for them to comprehend that their Savior and their Lord, their Master, was going to die and then to actually rise again. They couldn't comprehend it, as it says here. The story goes on in verse 11. "But Mary stood weeping outside the tomb, and she went and she stooped and looked into the tomb, and she saw two angels in white sitting there where the body of Jesus had been lain, one at the head and one at the feet. They said to her, 'Woman, why are you weeping?' She said to them, 'They have taken away my Lord, and I do not know where they have laid him.' Having said this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing, but she did not know it was Jesus. Jesus said to her, 'Woman, why are you weeping? Whom are you seeking?' Supposing him to be the gardener, she said to him, "Sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you have laid him, and I will take him away." Jesus said to her, "Mary." She turned and said to him in Aramaic, "Rabboni," which means teacher. And Jesus said to her, "Do not cling to me, for I have not yet ascended to the Father, but go to my brothers and say to them, I am ascending to my Father and your Father, to my God and to your God." Mary Magdalene went and announced it to the disciples, "I have seen the Lord," and that he said these things to her. It goes on to say, and on the evening of that day, so this was in the morning early, a whole day passes, and on the evening of that day, the first day of the week, the doors being locked where the disciples were for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood among them and said to them, "Peace be with you." I don't know about you, but I would have been freaked out. No wonder he said, "Peace be with you." I mean, the doors are locked. Next minute, Jesus appears in front of them. Must have been like a hologram or something. They must have just absolutely thought, what the heck's going on here? He says, "Peace be with you." And he actually echoes this many times to them before he actually goes and goes up to heaven. He says, "Peace be with you," a number of times. When he had said this, he showed them his hands and his side. Then the disciples were glad when they saw the Lord. Jesus said to them again, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, even I am sending you." And when he had said this, he breathed on them and he said, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven them. And you withhold forgiveness from any, it is withheld." Then after this is the story of Thomas. We know Thomas had that unbelief in his heart. Also, finding it hard to comprehend that Jesus actually had died and risen again. And we know that Jesus says in verse 27 of John chapter 20, "Put your finger here and see my hands, and put out your hand and place it in my side. Do not disbelieve, but believe." Thomas answered him, "My Lord and my God." Jesus said to him, "Have you believed because you have seen me?" And this is for us today. "Blessed are those who have not seen me, yet have believed." Isn't that good to know that we are blessed this morning? We haven't physically seen Jesus, but blessed are those who have not seen me, yet have believed. So we are blessed today, man, as believers. We are blessed. Jesus wasn't with us physically. We weren't there 2,000 years ago. But as a result of the Holy Spirit coming into our lives and convicting us of our sin, we now can believe in Jesus. John goes on to say in verse 30, "Now Jesus did many other signs in the presence of the disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written so that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and by believing, you may have life in his name." Isn't that awesome? By believing, you may have life in his name. That's for us this morning, isn't it? As we have believed in Jesus, I mean, that's part of our testimony, isn't it? Before we believed in Jesus and received Jesus and accepted him, our lives were different, weren't they? But coming to Jesus, he has changed our lives for the better. Amen? We can have a peace to know that our eternity has been secured by Jesus. We can have that peace to know that he is with us. I love that. Awesome. Well, at this point, I'm going to hand over to Pastor Pete, who's going to come and share a few words with us. And then there are a couple others I know of who would like to share a testimony this morning as well. So I'm going to hand over to Pastor Pete when he's finished fixing his clothing.
Just a piece of cotton. Well, good morning, everyone. I don't think there's anyone that feels more grateful than what I do this morning to have communion and to celebrate the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. Because, you know, it was about 51 years ago, before most of you were born, a lot of you, that I met my wife. And I wasn't serving the Lord, although I've been brought up in church, going to church every now and again, but not serving the Lord. And then I met her, and then she'd been in the same position as me, Isn't it amazing how God brought us together? And so we started going to church a little bit. You know, 1 foot going to church and 1 foot in the world, not serving the Lord. But I'm so grateful that about 2-3 years that we got married, and then, you know, how God spoke to me the one day and how it really changed my life. You know, you may be here this morning, you may go to church now and again, but you're not really walking with Jesus, because, you know, you can go to church and not be a Christian and not follow Jesus. And the verse that changed my life is Luke 9:23, where Jesus said, if you want to follow me, you must deny yourself, take up your cross daily, and follow me. And, you know, I remember that one Easter when God really spoke to me. It was in April, I can't remember, in about 1978. And I made a decision that day that I'm going to deny myself. And what does that mean? I'm going to deny myself, and I'm going to take up my cross and follow Jesus. And I've been doing it ever since. That means the old Peter Mayer that lived in the flesh to please himself had to die. Not that I'm not in the flesh now and enjoying my life. I'm enjoying my life, but the old Peter Mayer had to die to himself. The I had to become a C, no longer I, but now it's Jesus Christ living through me. And you know, I've been on this Christian journey now I'm turning 70 soon, so many years, and the Lord has been so good to us. I wouldn't have a marriage today if it wasn't for Jesus. I wouldn't have my children, some of my grandchildren sitting here today if Jesus hadn't come into my life. I can assure you of that. I wouldn't be living in Australia. But Jesus Christ, when you make that decision to die, I'd have nailed that old Peter Mayer into the coffin, keep him in there. Every now and again he wants to jump out, you know. Say, get back in there, you dirty old man. I've got to keep him in there. I've died to my old life of sin. I'm a new creation in Jesus Christ. The old has gone, the new has come. And now I'm walking in righteousness. I'm walking as someone who's right with God. I mean, as I stand here now, I don't know of any sins I've got that will keep me out of heaven. I'm righteous, positionally. But I may walk out here and kick my toe or something, and then I'll have to repent of the sin, you know, or say something rude to my wife or something, not that I ever do, because she's like an angel. But I'm so grateful today for what Jesus has done in my life. And, you know, if you, who are like I was, you come to church now and again, but you've actually got to make that decision. Lord, I'm going to die to my old self. I'm going to change. I'm going to change the way I live. And I'm going to follow you with all my heart. The greatest decision you can ever make in your life. Amen.
Amen. Awesome. Stephen's going to come up and share a testimony this morning as well, which is, he shared this with me during the week. I thought it was pretty cool.
Thank you. On Wednesday, I was about to go in to see a client, and Shirley calls me and says, is there a fire in the area? And I'm like, not that I know of. Anyway, I went and checked on the app that I've got, and sure enough, there was a fire that, it was far enough away that it wasn't of any danger to us, just the smoke was blowing in our direction. I go in, I'm meeting with the customer, and then as I'm sitting there, suddenly my phone starts buzzing, and a text message comes up. And the text message just reads, emergency in your area. So I'm like, I said to them, let me just check this because I've just got an emergency warning from DFES. So I check it. And literally the message said, it's an emergency. You need to get out now. So I went and called Shirley and I told her. I went and checked up on DFES what was happening. Checked obviously on our community Facebook page what's happening. And this fire that was significant distance from us suddenly was literally not even a house away, was just over a house and a road away. The fire had just spread like super quick across this field, and it already burnt something like 60 or 70 hectares of grassland in a matter of 10 or 15 minutes. So I said, called Shirley, and I said, go outside, called her, sent the message to her, called her, told her to go outside, turn the retix on, do this, do this. And as she's doing it, I'm hearing the helicopters flying overhead. I'm hearing the wind was howling at this point. The fire had created its own wind pattern that was happening. And it was just blowing the fire right towards our the properties in our road. And it was that close. But Shirley says to me, it's okay, we're going to be all right. I'm not going to go. And this is when everybody in our street, all you're seeing is the cars. And you're hearing all the cars just driving down our road. She goes inside. And then when I finish the meeting, I call her. And she says, the wind's changed direction. At that moment, I get a text saying, I look at it, and sure enough, DFES have changed the setting, saying, due to, and I'm going to tell you why this happened in a second. And it said, due to a sudden and unexpected change in the direction of the wind, the fire is now is favorable conditions to fight the fire. Literally a minute before that, Daniel or Suegro had just gone outside and he had just spoken to the wind and ordered it to change direction. He came inside and said to Shirley, I prayed. The wind has changed direction and I'm off to Bunnings.
Classic. Bunnings is where my father-in-law spends a lot of time. Classic story, eh? I want to tell you this. I read a story this week, and it's a false story of resurrection, right? And, you know, we believe the resurrection of Jesus was the pinnacle of all miracles, signs, and wonders. There's nothing close to it. I mean, the resurrection from the dead. Listen to the story. So I'll read it to you. There was a Seattle Airport cargo handler who was unloading pets with some of his friends. They found one of the dogs dead and they panicked. So they just made something up. They told the owner, your dog was misrouted to Phoenix. They said the dog had gone somewhere else. Come back tomorrow and I will give you your dog. That gave them enough time to go around to the pound and find a dog that looked similar to the man's dead dog. They got one and they brought it back. But when they gave it to the man, he said, that's not my dog. They said, well, yes, it is. He argued with them and he said, well, it looks different. It looks very different from my dog. They said, well, it's got jet lag. The dog's got jet lag. It'll come right in a few days. The man said, it's not my dog. This went back and forth for a while. So finally they asked, how do you know this isn't your dog? The man said, because my dog was dead and I was shipping him back here to be buried. And then the end part is, things don't normally come back to life, but a couple thousand years ago, something happened that had never happened before. That would have been a miracle for that dog to come back to life. Did any other of our leaders want to share a testimony before I carry on this morning? Oh, there comes Eddie. And then after this, we'll just share, what does the resurrection mean for us now, living in 2023? Thank you, Eddie.
Just thinking about the Word of God and how it changes our life, and this year, you know, even like 2 months ago, and, you know, I have a confession to say first, is that I didn't know verbatim the Lord's Prayer. And I bet most of you probably do. I mean, I knew the what it was about, but to say it word for word. And I don't know why. I think maybe in the back of my mind, I'd taken a thought, it was like a mantra, and I didn't want to say something that didn't really mean something to me. So anyway, that's beside the point. I read a book, I found a book in our bookstore, just looking through the bookstore one day, And the title of the book is After This Manner Pray. And it's a whole book, you know, a thick book. And the whole book is about that prayer. And it really inspired me. And I thought, how can you write a 200-page book about just a few words? And anyway, I decided as a pastor here at the church, I'd better, you know, make sure I know this, you know, the Lord's Prayer. And, you know, the Lord's Prayer, you know, it says, Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our debts as we also forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. You know, I wake up in the middle of the night and that's what those words come to my mind. I get up, I'm running down the, I'm doing my run in the morning and I'm thinking about it. And I'm praying, but my prayer life has changed in the last 2 months, you know, because of the Lord's Prayer. It really means something to me now in this life, and it's going to be with me forever. I know, I'm not just saying the words, I think about what they mean. Even this morning, I was thinking how it says, Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth. Because His will is not being done on the earth right now. It's not happening. We look around. We know it's not, but He's pre-prayed. He said, pray after this manner. That's what we have to pray, that His will would be done. And it's made such a change in my thinking, in the way I pray. I write things down and I pray about who to pray for. And I'm just realizing more and more and more how important it is to pray. We've got to pray. I've got to pray more because it's impactful. It changes things. You know, Jesus said, after this manner pray. So, I don't know, that's a change, isn't it? You know, the Word of God, it can change us, change our thinking. And it's impactful to us and to others. So, that's my story.
That's his story and he's sticking to it. But I love a lot about Pastor Eddie. You know, he's a wonderfully faithful guy. And even though Eddie, you know, has been serving the Lord for a long time, he's always so open to change. I love that about him. I want to be like that when I'm a bit more further on in years, that I'm not stuck in my ways, you know, because I mean, you know, Eddie worked for Coles for how many years, Eddie? 25 years he worked at Coles as a manager. He managed Coles supermarkets for 25 years. So did Marguerite. And Eddie's one of these guys. He really does follow processes. But what I do love is the fact that he's still so flexible in his heart towards the Lord and ever changing, ever growing. And that's a beautiful thing. Cool. All right. If anyone else doesn't jump up now, I'm going to continue then. All right, let's go for it. Okay, so what does the resurrection mean for us? I mean, all these years later, you know, 2023 years later, or however long it is, give or take a couple of years, what does the resurrection mean for us? I've got this quote for you, if I can find it. It says this, Christianity does not hold the resurrection to be one among many tenets of belief. Without faith in the resurrection, there would be no Christianity at all. The Christian church would never have begun, and the Jesus movement would have fizzled out. It's true, right? They would have said, that's fake. Whatever that guy said who died on that cross, who was executed, that was all fake. Look, it proves the point. But because he did rise again, Christianity stands or fails with the truth of the resurrection. Once you disprove it, you have disposed of Christianity. Interesting. There was a lawyer, and there's a lawyer, he's in the Guinness World Book of Records. His name is Sir Lionel Lockhue. And he won 245 successive murder acquittals. He actually was the lawyer for the royal family. And you look at the Guinness World Record Book of Records today. You can look him up. This guy, Sir Lionel Lochhu. He was knighted twice by Queen Elizabeth, and he is appointed as the Queen's Counsel. One day, he made a decision. He wasn't a believer, that he would look into the resurrection of Jesus Christ and try and disprove it, or prove it. He actually spent several years studying the historical record, and I'll just read to you this. He finally summarized his conclusion with this. I say unequivocally that the evidence from the resurrection of Jesus Christ is so powerful that it compels acceptance by proof, which leaves absolutely no room for doubt. So Lochhu became a Christian at the age of 64 as a result. And what an amazing testimony that is. So he went out to disprove it, and as a result, the Lord used it to actually show him there was that much overwhelming evidence for the resurrection. Romans 4 verse 25 tells us that he was delivered over to death for our sins and was raised to life for our justification. He was delivered over. The reason why he died on the cross was for our trespasses and raised for our justification. Some pretty loaded words in there, isn't there? It was because of us, humanity. We know the story, how we'd moved away from God's plan. We trespassed. We went against what God had said for us. But he was raised for our justification. He, through his rising from the dead, we're incapable of doing that, right? But Jesus was capable. He took God's wrath upon himself. He became, the word says, our propitiation for our sins in 1 John chapter 2, verse 1. He satisfied God's wrath, that wrath that was meant for us. He took it upon himself. So it is through his rising from the death that we receive our justification. It was for our justification to defeat sin and death on the cross. So firstly, the resurrection of Jesus Christ means that we are justified before God. We have been put right with God through Jesus dying on the cross. We've been made right with God through Jesus dying on the cross and then rising again. See how significant this is. Just secondly, just a few things I'd like to share this morning before we wrap things up. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 55 to 57. Max, I'm not sure if you've got this one actually. I didn't give you this scripture. It says, O death, where is your victory? O death, where is your sting? The sting of death is sin, and the power of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, who gives us victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. So we know, secondly, that Jesus' resurrection on the cross shows that Jesus defeated death. Isn't that amazing? I mean, what a miracle. Jesus defeated death. And there's a bit of conjecture about what Jesus did when he had actually died on the cross. Did he go down to hell and, knock the devil around a bit? You know, what did the Bible do? I mean, it's not that significant for us. But, you know, we know that Jesus did defeat the power of death. Amen? And particularly our spiritual death. I mean, we were dead to our sin before Jesus died and rose again. But because of what he's done, we are justified. We're made right with the Lord. And now we can live lives of freedom in the Lord. Thirdly, this morning, the resurrection, it proves to us that the gospel is truth. The gospel is true. I love this. This is so significant. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 1 to 4. It says, 1 Corinthians 15, verse 14, and then 17 to 19. It says this. This is Paul speaking. This is very significant scripture. And if Christ had not been raised, then our preaching is in vain and your faith is in vain. And if Christ had not been raised, your faith is futile. I mean, it makes no sense. and you are still in your sins, then those who also have fallen asleep in Christ have perished. If in Christ we have hope in this life only, we are all people most to be pitied. Wow. Aren't those powerful and significant words which Paul utters about how significant the resurrection is for us? We would still be in our sin if Christ had not raised and defeated sin and the power of sin on the cross. And Paul says, you know, even me here today speaking to you, preaching, it's actually in vain. It's no point if Christ had not been raised from the dead, because it's a false gospel then. But by Jesus rising from the dead, we know that it is the truth of the gospel. I love that. I don't know what number this is, but I've got another one here. Romans chapter 1, verse 4. I'd like to just leave you with a couple of these scriptures this morning. Jesus Christ was declared to be the Son of God in power according to the Spirit of His holiness by His resurrection from the dead, Jesus Christ our Lord. So His resurrection proved that He was the Son of God. I mean, Jesus said He was the Son of God. Even when they asked Him during His trial, He said, "It is as you say." I mean, you have said it. The Son of God, Jesus, the Son of God, even though He was part of the Trinity, He was the Son of God, and His resurrection, once again, shows this to be the truth. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 3 to 4, another wonderful scripture. It says this: according to His great mercy, He has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance that is imperishable, undefiled, and unfading, kept in heaven for you. Isn't that wonderful? Great mercy. We've been born again into a living hope. Isn't that great to know? That Jesus, even though it was over 2,000 years ago, He did that work on the cross. Today, we can have a living hope. We have an inheritance that is imperishable. And last night I was speaking to my father-in-law, and he was telling me about what heaven's like, you know, from Scripture, the book of Revelation, and how beautiful heaven is. There's such a purity in heaven. Like, there's a purity of the gold that's so clear that you cannot even see it. About the mansion that Jesus said that He's going to prepare for us. What a beautiful place heaven is going to be. And what a wonderful place heaven is. And I love that Jesus said that He's going there to prepare a place for us, that we even praise in His last prayer, in one of His last prayers before going up to heaven. He says, "Father, I ask that they may be with me just as I am with you." Remember that scripture? He prays that prayer for the believers. And he asks his Father, "Father, I pray that they will see the wonders and the glory of heaven." And Jesus has gone to prepare a place for us. You know, I think many of us think that Jesus is just, I don't know, sitting around up there. But Jesus is working. Amen? Yeah, Jesus is working. He's preparing a place. I don't know if, we know He was a carpenter, right? Man, He's knocking up houses, the most beautiful houses you've ever seen. He's out there. I mean, I'm sure we'll be helping Him to do this too one day when we get to join Him. And those who have gone on already have been graduated, as Pastor Eddie says, have graduated to heaven. And I'm sure they're helping in this building of these mansions. I want to do that. I want to help, man. When I get up there, lay a few bricks of gold, help with those streets of those. Oh, it's going to be beautiful, isn't it? Gold pavers. Can't get those ones at Bunnings. But Jesus said, "I'm going to prepare a place for you," didn't He? He also said that He's interceding on the right side of God, He's seated at the right side in a place of authority and power, and He's making intercession for us. Isn't that beautiful? That Jesus is praying when we are weak. He's praying, saying, "Father, Holy Spirit, strengthen Luke today. He's struggling in this area. Help him. Holy Spirit, He's interceding for us." I love that. I love that. So just lastly this morning, I'd like to read to you from John chapter 14. Just lastly, I'd like to leave these scriptures with you. Really beautiful scriptures. John chapter 14, it says this. Let not your hearts be troubled. Believe in God. Believe also in me. In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, would I have told you that I'm going to, that I will go to prepare a place for you? He says, why would I lie about that? He said, I've told you the truth. This is what's actually happening. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and I will take you to myself. Isn't that a great promise for us this morning? That he will come again and he will take us to himself. That where I am, you may be also. And you know the way to where I'm going. That's what he says. And then Thomas said to him, Lord, we do not know where you are going. How can we know the way? I mean, how can we know the way to heaven? I mean, and Jesus said to him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you have known me, you would have known my Father also. From now on, you do know him and you have seen him. So Jesus is saying, in your knowing of me, you have seen the Father. What a beautiful promise for us this morning. Amen. What a beautiful way to end our Resurrection Sunday service. By putting our trust and putting our faith in Jesus. By knowing that our inheritance is secure if we have put our trust in him, if we believed in him. You know, the scripture tells us that it's by man came death. By man has come also the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, so also in Christ shall all be made alive. And we have received this resurrection life. We've been given another chance. I mean, that generation before Noah did not get that chance. They died in their sin. But then God, in his mercy and his grace, has sent us Jesus to die on the cross for our sin and to give us life and life eternal. Why don't we pray together this morning? Lord Jesus, you said in John chapter 11 that you are the resurrection and the life, and whoever believes in me will not perish. You said that to Mary when Lazarus was raised again. And we just thank you this morning that you are our life, Lord. That in you, Lord, we find life. Lord, that in your word, in your scriptures, through your Holy Spirit, you are leading us, God, and we thank you for that. And this morning, Lord, we come to celebrate your resurrection, Jesus. It means so much to us today in 2023 to know that we have been given life through your resurrection. This morning, once again, Jesus, we say thank you. We say thank you, Lord, for all you've done on the cross for us. You know, maybe this morning you've come in here and you have not received Jesus in your life. Maybe it was a long time ago that you did say a prayer of dedication to the Lord. But maybe this morning you know the Lord has drawn you here for a purpose. Maybe you weren't planning to be here, but you're here. And the Lord is speaking to you through his Spirit, right? And the Lord wants you today, I really believe this, not to leave this place without making right with him. That's why Jesus died on the cross. We can make right with him. And I know today maybe you can feel that hot light of the Holy Spirit on your heart. And maybe right now as I'm speaking to you, you can feel that the Lord is drawing you to give your life to him today. From the speaking of his word, the Lord has shown you that he's convicted you of things in your life. And you know that you're not heading towards eternity with the Lord because of the sin in your life. And you need to ask for forgiveness today. I'd love for you to take the opportunity today and not leave this place without making right with the Lord on this Easter Sunday, a day that your life can be changed. Amen. So I'd like to say a prayer with you. and to ask for the Lord to come this morning and to save you. And that happens as we place our faith in Jesus, in the resurrected Christ. We say, Jesus, I place my faith in you. Forgive me of my sin. Forgive me of my sin. I place my faith in you. I repent. Repent means I choose not to live the life I used to live before with the Spirit's help. So I'd like to say a prayer, and you can repeat after me. Dear Lord Jesus, I ask you to come into my life today. I believe in you, Jesus. I put my hope in you today. Forgive me of my sin. I repent. Lord, with your help, I'm going to turn away from the sin. Thank you today that you make me new. By your Spirit, you are renewing me. Thank you, Jesus. I place my hope and my trust in you today. And I choose to live for you today. In Jesus' mighty name. If you prayed that prayer, can you just raise your hand? Say, yep, awesome. Anyone else this morning prayed that prayer? Thank you, thank you. That's wonderful. If you prayed that prayer this morning, this is the start of new life. Can we thank the Lord for all those this morning who have placed their faith in Jesus? And this is the start of a journey, amen? A start of a journey with the Lord. And you can get at the back. We have some information about the choice, the decision you've made this morning as you've been drawn by the Spirit to make that decision. You can grab some information at the back there this morning. We'd love to give you some information today. Amen. So welcome. Welcome into the family of God, all those who received Jesus this morning in their lives. You can go into this day knowing your sins are forgiven. Amen. Your sins are forgiven. Come on. And have hope in your heart today. So Lord, I thank you for everyone that's here. And I pray your blessing upon them as they go. Lord, thank you that you have risen. You have risen indeed. And we will celebrate that for the rest of this day. We place our hope and our trust in you, Jesus. Amen. Well, God bless you. Have a wonderful Sunday. Please join us.